Good morning and welcome to St. James Westminster. Please be seated. Steve has a few announcements, and as he's walking up, I will give you mine. First, huge thanks to Barb, who found the A-frame signs. They were indeed tucked away somewhere safe. My second announcement is that I am without my partner in crime this morning. The wardens and I made an executive decision to send Father Michael home today. He was not feeling well, and we remembered that I too can celebrate the Eucharist. We will pray for Michael as he recovers. He's got some kind of flu or cold. And remember that it is now cold and flu season. And for all of us, when we are feeling ill, it is best to stay home and keep our germs to ourselves.
Good advice, good advice. A couple of musical things coming up in the parish in the next month or so. Next Sunday, we have a guest, Pierre Bensoussin, a French guitarist who is on a North American tour and has chosen to perform a concert here at St. James. So that's next Sunday. Tickets are only available online at this point, so talk to me if you're interested. Also on Saturday, October 4th, we are presenting the Mass for All Creatures, the composition by Oliver Whitehead. That will be with London Pro Musica and the St. James Choir. I've got some flyers over there on the piano. If you have a place where you could put one up or even just take one as a reminder, that would be great. So they're there for you to take, and we'd love to see you at that beautiful service concert that night here at St. James. And finally, yes, it's official. The Dinner Cabaret is on Friday, October 17th and Saturday, October 18th. Tickets will be available starting this week, not today, but starting this week. I'll have them with me next Sunday. They're $40 a ticket, and we're looking forward to having two full houses and a wonderful meal and wonderful music. So thank you.
Thank you. Let us take a moment to prepare ourselves for worship. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may earnestly love you and worthily enter into the holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and ourselves in your image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works and to serve you with reverence and thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia! Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time forth forevermore.
rising of the sun to its going down. Let the name of the Lord be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, and is glorious above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high?
But stoop to behold the heavens and the earth.
The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes.
The Lord sets them with the rulers, with the
you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his manager commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of his age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. If you could choose, would you live in a world governed by God's grace and mercy, or a world governed by fairness? Grace and mercy are central to our faith. God has promised that because of Jesus, we will be graciously welcomed into the kingdom. even though we don't deserve to be there. And God has promised to mercifully forgive our shortcomings, even though we don't deserve that either. It's shocking and amazing that God would extend us this grace and mercy, which are born out of God's deep, abiding love for us. And grace and mercy can be hard. To live into God's love, we need to acknowledge that we are unable to make it on our own. We have to be willing to see that we need help, and that doesn't always come easily. Fairness, though, fairness is easier to get your mind around. Everyone gets what they deserve. Everyone has the same opportunities, and everyone is judged by the same standard. Fairness has that tempting feeling of being right, almost natural. In fact, it's one of the earliest complaints that children lay at their parents' feet, protesting when things don't feel fair. If God were fair, it would be possible to enter the gates of heaven having lived a good life. There would be less of a need to admit our weaknesses and our frailties, and it would all be a great deal less embarrassing. And I wonder if this is why the gospel feels so hard this morning, so confusing. One of the commentaries I looked at described it as one of the most dreaded parables in the lectionary. So, great. Jesus commends this dishonest manager to us, and it just feels wrong. Why in the world would Jesus give us an example of someone who is not living a righteous life? Someone who fails to live according to God's commandments? Feels like there must be some kind of mistake. And yet, the longer I sat with the passage, and the more wise words I read, the more I realized that Jesus is doing exactly what Jesus always does with this parable. This story teaches us the same lesson as the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, the woman with the lost coin, and the shepherd with 99 sheep. Jesus shows us someone who is falling short. And then Jesus shows us how he seeks out the good in them. Jesus looks for a reason to commend this man. Yes, the manager is dishonest. He has been deceptive and has failed to do the work for which he was hired. Yes, the system he is working in is likely unjust, with many people indebted beyond what is reasonable and fair to the wealthy landowners in the town. And yes, when this manager finally gets around to doing the good thing, forgiving the debts of his neighbors, it isn't even clear that he does this out of the goodness of his heart or because he thinks it is right. According to Jesus himself, this man may well have stumbled accidentally, unintentionally, into a good work. And Jesus celebrates that. Jesus commends that to us. Because sometimes the best that we can do is pick the least bad option out of a bad bunch. Sometimes we cannot avoid the unjust systems in our world. And when that is the case, Jesus teaches us that looking for some nugget of good that we can do within a bad system is still better than just throwing up our hands and accepting things as they are. Because that is grace. That's what Jesus does for the dishonest manager. Jesus does not accept that this man is dishonest and then leave him be. Jesus searches, roots around. Jesus finds what might be the one redeeming thing in this man's story. Because for Jesus, that's enough. And so I wonder if this passage is so hard, so tricky, because we come face to face with what Jesus' grace and mercy looks like. It is that same grace and mercy that Jesus extends to us as well. Jesus goes looking for the goodness in each of us. Jesus applauds this man's half-hearted, self-serving, accidental grace to others, so we can be confident that Jesus rejoices every time we seek to live lives of justice and mercy and grace. Grace, it turns out, can be pretty offensive. Mercy is deeply unfair. And God's liberal application of both can catch us when God greets a beloved child and invites us to rejoice, and we weren't prepared for that. Thanks be to God, who loves us anyway, who showers us in grace and mercy even when we think we might prefer fairness, who celebrates every good work, those we do intentionally, and those we stumble into accidentally. Amen. Please stand as we confess the faith of our baptism, as we say, I believe in God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again.
Assume a posture of prayer.
Please join in the response. God of abiding mercy,
we will rejoice in you.
Blessed Lord, from the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise you and you alone. Keep your church in this single-minded devotion. Sustain us with your presence. God of abiding mercy,
we will rejoice in you.
Blessed Lord, hear our prayers for those in high position, that the dignity of all may be upheld and honored. Guide all nations in the ways of peace with justice. God of abiding mercy,
we will rejoice in you.
Blessed Lord, turn our hearts from love of wealth and obsession with its false security. Set us free to trust in your bounty and to be satisfied with sufficient. Fix our hearts where true and lasting treasures may be found. God of abiding mercy,
we will rejoice in you.
Blessed Lord, in your love and mercy, save us from the anger and bitterness that destroys the soul. Quieten the raging hearts of those in distress and bring peace to troubled mind. Lift us from dust and ashes to hope in you. We think today especially of Gavin, Terry, Bob, Catherine, Solomon, Kathy, Sherry, Brian, Dorothea, Scott, Cheryl, Matthew, Arnold and Marilyn, Don and Nancy, Charles and family, the King family. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Blessed Lord, you desire the salvation of all people. We commend to you all who have died. Bring us to rejoice in your courts with thanksgiving. God of abiding mercy,
we will rejoice in you.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess these sins to God.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. The glory of your works fills us with wonder and awe. Accept our offering this day and help us to live in peace and harmony with all your creation, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to us and
blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You are the source of light and life for all your creation. You made us in your own image and call us to new life in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your children, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father,
we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Christ has gathered us together. May your love, O Jesus Christ, be foremost in our lives.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. Ruler of the universe, all creation yearns for its fulfillment in your Son. May we who have shared in holy things grow into maturity in him. This we ask in the name of the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks.